Listen to Melanated Mom's podcast,
because she has something to say.
Oh, yeah, I'm a melanated mom, working hard as can be. I show up for my children while showing up for me. I'm a melanated mom.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Melanated Mom podcast, where we raise creative, innovative, and independent thinkers. But in the process of doing that, we make sure not to forget about ourselves. Hey guys, how is it going out there? So just a few things that I want to tell you before we get started on the podcast today. So today, I am interviewing with my husband. As you know, if you follow me on any kind of social media, or if you know me in real life, because half the people that listen to this know me in real life, I am coming down off of a 10-day hiatus without my kids. So you hear all that energy in my voice? I got a lot of energy, y'all. But, you know, this is the calm before the storm. So we're getting ready to return to parenthood very soon. But it's been a nice 10 days of spending time together. Me and my husband are like super outdoorsy people. My kids are super not outdoorsy people. We have to drag them outside. So it's been nice to not have to drag anybody along and to be able to do some of the things that we really enjoy doing. So I'm excited to talk to you about a few of those things. But before we hop into the episode, I do want to talk a little bit about what's going on. So I have some really good things coming down the pipeline soon, guys. I have been podcast crushing on these ladies that have asked me to work with them on this project for years. Like before I even had a thought about podcasting, I have been listening to these ladies for years. And so they have asked me to work on a project with them. So I'm so excited. I can't really talk much about what it is right now, but I'm just excited that somebody that I have been following for years and looking up to in podcasting has asked me to work on a project. And they told me how good my work was. Like I was on a call with them and they said, "We really appreciate your work." So, you know, I was feeling real good, y'all. I'm excited about getting out there and, like I said, exploring some new options with them, meeting some new people. So yeah, I'm very excited. So I wanted to share that with you. And I also wanted to talk about you and you sharing the episode with other people that you know. So please share the episode with friends, share it with a few friends by text message, or share it with a larger audience by posting on your social media accounts. When you share the podcast with other people, then it just gets the word out there a little bit more. And also, if you wouldn't mind rating and reviewing the podcast, it helps people find the podcast, which I really appreciate. I got a lot of new followers lately, so I am excited about that. But I want to grow the Melanated family even more. So I said that I was going to start reading some podcast reviews. I looked at my podcast reviews today and I was up to 34 podcast reviews, ratings. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh, I got to start looking at my ratings. So every week I'm going to start reading a different review that somebody has left me. And the one that I'm reading this week is from another podcast team that I love to listen to. It's the Miss Podcast. And I love listening to Walter and Angel. And Walter left me a review and it says, "Intelligent dope queen. Need I say more? Cool, I will. Dope intro to a deeper show. Always on point, and I can respect the heck out of that. Be sure to check out the latest joint, Dismantling Racism in the Education System. I love this queen and her journey. Please show her some love." So y'all heard him. Show me some love. So yeah, your podcast review can be read as well when you show me some love. So now that I'm done rambling, I am ready to jump into this episode with my husband, Mr. George Wilson. Welcome to the podcast, babe.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
Are you nervous to be on the podcast?
Very much so. know that you have an audience of over 1,000 and capable of millions of people listening to me at any given time.
He swear that I got 1,000 people listening to me. But okay, if that's what he wants to believe, then I'm going to roll with that, okay?
Yes.
So like I said, that we just came down off of 10 days of just kicking it. So we want to talk a little bit about that. We want to talk about the 8 years that we have in already in marriage, like what that's felt like and what we look forward to in the next forever years of marriage, like what we want to see happen. So tell me a little bit about the last 10 days, about how that's been and how you felt about having that time.
It's been cool. It's been free. I can't say it's been 100% without kids, because luckily we've been able to go visit the kids. What?
Well, you have. I didn't.
I had to go over there and kind of set them up on, it was kind of a bad thing, but I've had to set them up on their technology and check up on them. But, man, this has been great.
They were just right around the corner, so they weren't that far away. He just went around the corner to check on them. But I feel so bad, you guys, because I don't be missing them. Like when they be gone for like, I mean, 10 days is a very short time, right? And they're with my parents, but I'm just like, so like, like I can actually breathe. I can actually like lay down and just chill and not cook food, all that good stuff. So I love them so, so much, but I did not miss them. I will be happy when they come back in a couple days, but still, I did not miss them. So, yeah, I agree. It's been really cool to just hang out and do some of the stuff that we've been able to do. What's your favorite thing that we got to do while they were away?
We took a trip to Burney Falls. We took a little hiking trip up to Burney Falls. We spent the night up there. I guess that's the highlight of our trip, but also my little bike, my bike riding days coming back. That's been kind of cool too, because I haven't had the chance to go riding my bike, and now that the kids are gone, I've been able to sneak off in the morning and go take a nice little ride and then come on back home.
But that is not something that can only be reserved for when they're gone. I mean, that's stuff that you can do. Because listen to this, you guys. Listen to what I do, okay? He can do this too. He can enjoy his life as well. I wake up at like 7 o'clock in the morning. I have a group of friends, actually two really good friends that I walk with throughout the week. For now, definitely since it's COVID and people are off and, you know, not having to be tied to a desk or anything all day like that. But we've been getting up and walking, and I usually do that with them like on Fridays. But here's the key. I get up early so that by the time I get ready to get back, it's almost like everybody is just waking up and the family is just getting started. So if he wants to go ride his bike at 7 o'clock in the morning, he can really be my guest to do that, because we all have the freedom to do what we want to do when we get up early and get the day started.
But I can't ride my bike in certain places that early in the morning, because there are parks and parks open at certain times. So, but okay. I get you though.
You can ride it on the hill that I ride on. They be open all the time. It's open in the morning.
Oh yeah, I can do that too.
Okay.
Yep, I can.
All right. So, yeah, it's possible. Okay. So I have some questions that I have here. I want to make sure that I get on. So what do these breaks do for you? Like when we have this little bit of time together, like how do you feel when we have this time together?
It's cool. I mean, things, you kind of ease up a little bit.
Y'all, I'd be a drill sergeant every day. Like, I'd be like, let's get it done. And when the kids aren't here, I'd be like, okay, let's chill.
Kinda. But, yeah, I can tell you're more at ease. And I guess I might be a little bit more at ease also. I can see my heartbeat is a little bit better. I'm a little bit lax. Able to get things done that I need to take care of.
But I also think that too, it's like, it just, when you take any kind of responsibility off the table, like when you don't have to like we don't have to cook if we don't want to, you know, we can eat whatever. When you don't have to do things by a certain time, I'm like really big on the kids not being connected to technology all day. So when we have a situation like this, it's COVID, like if we are not like actively engaged with them doing something, then they're asking for technology. Mm-hmm. So that causes me to be a little bit more like, okay, so we need to be doing this or doing that with them so that they are not connected to something that I don't want them doing all day. So just when you take all that stuff off the table, it just makes it a little bit easier to, I feel, relax. Because you don't have nobody to really tell what to do and what not to do.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think that's like the big part of it. But yeah, I'm always about like having activities. I be too much sometimes. I ain't gonna lie. I want them to be doing stuff. And I know that it could be a lot sometimes, but I also just cannot stand the thought of them being locked into technology all day. I just don't think it's just for me, just my family. I just don't think it's good. So
yeah, it's not. It's not.
Yeah.
And I mean, even a couple of days ago, I had the thought of getting my 6-year-old daughter her own phone. And I kind of thought like, wow, should I be doing that yet?
Right. Exactly. And I mean, Xavier got a phone in third grade, which I still thought was a little bit young, but he was walking to the car from school, and it wasn't like it was far, but I was kind of parking around the corner and stuff. So just for like safety measures, I did want him to have it. But these kids, what these kids need phones for? They with us 24 hours a day.
And the thing, one reason why I would like, because Emma has her friends calling my phone all the time. And so I get my phone taken away because Emma's usually on it. Talking to one of her friends.
Well, that goes back to the fact that they don't need to be on technology all day. So when you're talking to your friend, you have like 30 minutes, 40 minutes to talk to your friend, and then you're off the phone. You got to do something else. So, I mean, I don't know. That doesn't mean you need your own phone because you're talking to your friend.
Oh, when daddy wants his phone, daddy wants his phone.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying, that she needs to be off the phone.
Yeah,
so that... Yeah. She's not on technology all day, and so that you can have your technology back. They don't need to be on technology all day.
No, they don't.
No.
They don't.
Mm-mm. So, in the last 8 years of marriage, what has that looked like for you? What has that been like for you?
It was different than what I thought, kind of. But I was kind of expecting. I've been kind of expecting this ride. I know it's been it's been a rocky ride, but it hasn't been too rocky. No. I ain't got too crazy or nothing, but it's been a rocky ride. This last year, 2020, really just has not been cool, but I think we are going to look at this and scratch 2020 off the record and roll back with 2021 and keep on moving.
I think 2020 might have just been like not so great in terms of like what was happening in the world. But as far as like our marriage has gone, I think 2020 has been pretty good for us. I don't feel like we've had like too many bumps in the road, because I'm gonna let y'all know that we have had some difficult times. I think like after I had my daughter, so I had her when I was 40. So after I had her, I think that there was just a lot of stuff that wasn't right for me. And a lot of it had to do with like where I was in life and where I wanted to be, like what being a mother at 40 did to me. So it caused a lot of problems in our relationship. So I feel like for the past 2 years that we've been doing way, way, way better than we have done in even the beginning of our marriage. What do you think about that?
Once you put it like that, I will say 2020 has been a kind of uptick in this household.
Yeah.
I could say in this household, it has been better.
Yeah, that's all I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm not talking about the world. I'm just talking about in our marriage, like 2020 has been good. And how have you felt like since the beginning of our marriage until now? Like, what have the best parts of our marriage been? Like, around what year would you say like was really good time for us? I say this is a really good time for us. I think that I finally got to the point in my mind, and I'm sure that he could say the same thing about me, and I'm just being completely honest, where I felt like there's stuff that he does that gets on my nerves, and it's probably never going to stop. Like, he's probably never going to stop doing that certain stuff.
Like chewing.
I hate listening to people chew. I can't stand it. It's too annoying. So please just get away from me. Don't chew around me. But anyway, that's like minute. I'm just talking about like other stuff that he does that bugs me. I think that you finally get to the point in your marriage where you be like, okay, so this is this person. Like, this is part of who they are. So I could either get mad every single day at this or get mad every single time they do this. Or I could just be like, this is what I'd be like in my mind. I ain't gonna lie. That's so stupid. He's so dumb. He ain't gonna never change that. So let me just move on. I'm like, I can't be mad about this every day. It's too much for me to be mad about it. So I just be like, okay, this is him. He's been doing this for 8 years. It's probably not gonna change. And I'm just gonna move on with my life. And that might mean like going to my room and like not talking to nobody for for an hour. I don't know. Whatever it is, that's gonna get me through. So what's your feeling about that?
You say you go back to your room for an hour. I've learned to let you go back there for an hour and not to go back there and try to say something and see what's wrong. Cause I kind of understand that. She went back to her room.
To our room.
our room. It's usually followed with the slam of the door. So that really lets me know, okay, give her a little space and then let her cool down and see what's going on and then reassess the situation from there.
Y'all know about it. I mean, somebody out there in podcast land knows about it. I'd be back here talking to myself. Like, he used to come back here and want to know what I was saying. Why you want to know what I'm saying? Like, I'm literally talking to me right now because I'm trying to calm myself down. So what I'm saying back here don't have nothing to do with you. You in the front, you worried about that. I'm back here trying to process my way through the situation so I could come back and be in a good place again. So,
and at a time we learned in the 8 years, that's something I've learned, is I cannot control your feelings and how you're going to respond to a situation. I can only kind of ride the wave and try to steer you in a more positive way. Or, yeah, that's, I'm just trying to steer you that way. I'm not trying to steer you no other way, but in a positive, more
he just going to try way. To be my therapist. And I don't need a therapist sometimes. Sometimes I just need to, like, be alone and do whatever I'm doing to, like, get myself together. And then when I'm done, I could come back and be a part of everything again. I just need time. So I think that's what you do, kind of like go through and learn about each other. And I know there's so many people that listen to this podcast that have been married way longer than I have. But, you know, 8 years feels like 80 years. It feels like I've learned, and not in terms of like, oh, I've been with him so long. But it feels like I've learned so much about myself, so much more about myself in 8 years than I learned about myself in my entire life, because you're with somebody 24/7 that you can't really, I feel like it's the only relationship that you can't really hide in, because that person is going to see every part of you. I think even your kids don't see every part of you. I think that you're able to, like, maybe not show your kids every part of you. You're able to not show your parents every part of you. But when you're with somebody like this in a relationship, I think it's really hard for you not to see every part of you and see the parts that you really need to work on and see the parts that that you may be good at, but things that you just really have kind of like shoved under a rug your entire life. So what do you think about that?
Well, instead of being shoved under the rug, I kind of just shove things under the bed. I can be messy at times, and I know that you...
That's me, clapping. Clapping, yes.
I know that you know you've dealt with that, and that's not cool, and I have to realize that, hey, I'm living with someone, even though she can't see the mess over on my side, or I don't think that she can see the mess over on my side, she can, and I have to change that, and I've changed that a bit in the last couple of months.
Months, guys. We've been married for 8 years, and he changed it in the last couple of months. I've been complaining about this from day one. But, yeah, I think that, like, that's just, like, a small thing. But so many things that are hard for you. And we're both, like, older. So we're married later in life. And I think just more time to get set in the ways that you've already had. Like, who you are is already kind of set up. And then you, like, come into this situation and you have to, like, mesh that with somebody else's. And I mean, that's for any age of a person. But I also think that because we were older, that we had more time to get set up how we were. So it's been hard to change a lot for me.
That's true. Especially like when we met, I had a dog, and I had a furry dog that was kind of sheddy and had a lot of hair. I dealt with that, but I understand that you weren't really with that.
I wasn't with it the way that he was with it. Like, I'm, like, okay with the dog because I had a dog before as well, but I'm, like, not okay with dogs just, like, being everywhere. Like, you have to have a certain place that you are. So, I mean, just, again, these are, like, really little things that we've done. I guess when we had the dog, it wasn't a little thing because we had babies, too, and I was like, I got too much to do. I'm not trying to clean up after this dog as well. But so many things about yourself that you just expect another person to deal with. And you really can't go into a marriage or a relationship just expecting somebody to deal with something just because that's what you want to do. Or just because that's what you dealt with all the time that you were single, or for whatever time you did with some, even if you were with somebody else and that's what they dealt with, you know, the new person might not want to deal with that. So, okay. So what are some of the most important lessons that marriage has taught you? Do you feel like you answered that?
That, listening, compromising, and just not having unrealistic expectations. I think that is one thing, or a couple of things that I've learned.
I think for me, the biggest thing has been compromising. And I think that's the biggest thing that I didn't realize that you would have to do so much of. I mean, I think I say this a lot for marriage, that sometimes I feel like I compromise so much of myself away. So I think, like, at the beginning of marriage, and then we had the two kids, and, well, we actually had Xavier before we were even married. So just, like, getting acclimated to all of that, and then, like, getting acclimated to a new person, I just felt like I lost so much of myself to my marriage and to my kids with compromise that I'm just getting back in a place. My daughter is 6 now, 6 years later, where I can be like, okay, I'm starting to, like, take some of those pieces of my life back. But man, I don't know. I feel like if I would have found the balance earlier for myself, like, maybe so many things wouldn't have been so hard for me, because I think because I felt like I was giving up so much of what I desired in life that I was very resistant, and I was very angry about that. So I didn't learn the balance of the compromise early enough to really, like, enjoy a lot of our earlier parts of marriage, I think.
You weren't enjoying it, or?
Sometimes, no.
Yeah. I understand that.
I felt like because I was, like, giving up so much stuff, like, I wasn't finding, like, the happy medium of like where I fit into the puzzle, where it fit in that I needed to do stuff for you, and where it fit in that I needed to be available for the kids. Like, I just, the missing component was always me. Mm-hmm. And that made me like, I felt like I just was like always on simmer, like not really feeling happy, not really feeling sad. It just was always like something that could close to make me explode. Like, it just would take one thing for me to be like, okay, that's it. That's all I'm going to deal with. And that's not fun. So I think finding the compromise, like the middle compromise for everybody as soon as you can, is like great. Because then it feels like everyone is getting a little bit of what they need, even though you have to give up something for the other person.
Mm-hmm. Take a little bit from everybody. And
yeah, but I think it doesn't really work out for women like that all the time.
Yeah. I think the way that men see things, like, I can grab a little piece of what I need and store it off to the side, or stay up late and kind of get my me time staying up late. But it's not the same for a woman. You kind of have to have yours set up the way you want to have it set up. And
yeah.
I can grab it any old time and bank on it then. But I think, yeah, especially you like to plan your things and have a plan for it set, and you want to accomplish this and this. And me, I'm gonna just get it and I'm gonna work with it and make the most that I can.
And I think that's also personality too, though.
Yeah, that's
it's like
true.
My personality I've been a grown up since I was born. Okay, basically, I like to be like, I really like to have a plan. It just works best for me. It's the way that I feel the least stressed out, is that when I'm able to like get my life by knowing what's going to happen. A little bit of that could be probably control as well. But on the end of that, I look at like a lot of probably Black women have this thing too. And especially if you were a mom before you were married, like, I'm just used to being in charge of stuff. That was just part of my life for 15 years before I met my husband. It's like, I was just used to being the one that was in charge of everything. So now he comes and I'm like, how do I let go of some of that, like needing to be in control or in charge of everything, and give him that role, and also still be satisfied and feel like I'm getting the things that I need as well. So that's been hard. That's been all 8 years. And it's actually still happening right now. So I don't feel like I'm like over that hurdle of feeling like I need to like have some of that power for myself, which is not bad for me to want to have my own power, but not like in the sense of where I feel like I need to control the household.
Oh no, your brother will probably tell me you've been bossy for a long time before you had kids too. So,
I don't know. Like I said, I've been a grown up since I left the room. Everyone needed my assistance, so I was there to do what I could for the people. Okay. I am the oldest grandchild of all boys. They needed me. They didn't know what to do, so I had to help everybody out. I've been helping people all my life. this is a good one, because I don't know what he about to say about this, but I got a lot to say about it, about the whole blended family aspect of marriage and how that has impacted, how it impacted us in the beginning and kind of how it impacts us now.
At first it was kind of tough, because you had, how old was Sean when?
Sean, when we met, Sean was like 13.
Or 14.
No, he wasn't, because we got married when he was 15. So he might have been like just turning 13.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was pretty much set in his ways. And he was kind of cool up until he found out that we were going to have a child. And that's when it was all bad.
Yeah, and by kind of cool, you mean what? that he dealt with you?
Yeah, he spoke. He spoke and said, "What's up?" I would say, "Oh yeah, I guess when we went to that concert together was right before we had the kid." So yeah, he already knew. But we went to a concert. We went to the Rock and the Bells concert.
That was the day before Xavier was born. Remember, I was like, I just hope that you guys could use these tickets because I had paid so much money for him. And I was like, I don't know if they're going to be able to go. And he was born the next day.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But one thing that helped me out with the relationship with Sean is Sean is a DJ. And I mean that's cool that we kind of had music, you know, to kind of bring us together. But I was talking to my cousin, and he's like, "What's up with Tracy's son?" I was like, "Oh, he a DJ." He's like, "Oh, okay, I understand him all the way."
His cousin is a DJ as well.
Yeah, my cousin's a DJ, and he just kind of explained. He's like, "Hey, you know us, man. We kind of a different pack of people." And after that, after hearing it from a different side, I was like, oh, yeah, they are kind of a different pack because my cousin is kind of the same way. He can just stay in his room, work on his trade, and come out for a second or two and just be about himself and his music. And I was like, okay, I got to respect that. That's how he is. Boom. I know how to come at him now. He's a DJ. So he's also an artist. And I always thought that artists were a little bit different.
He's an artist, and he's serious about his ish. Yeah, but for me, I didn't see it quite that way. It was, y'all, I thought I was going to have to get a divorce. That's the only way I can explain this, because I just felt like there was so much turmoil. I was trying to, like, bring them together. To me, I felt like George had never really dealt with anybody on this level, like a 13, 14-year-old kid. He just kind of got thrown into the fire. And Sean was completely happy with it just being me and him. And he expressed that to me many times throughout his entire life, that he did not desire to have brothers or sisters or for me to get married. So he didn't need none of that in his life. So it just was a hard time for me. When I was pregnant, I just felt like I was walking on eggshells because I wanted to make sure that everybody else was happy, that everybody else was getting along. And it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. It was an extremely difficult time for me. And so to see like where the relationship has flourished to, because I think when Sean got like around 17, like I think things started to like take like a little shift for the better. But this is where they are now. Okay. Sean said that George's cooking is better than mine. Sean told me I don't know how to make potato salad. He told me that George knows how to do everything better than me. So now I'm the underdog. Just to see like the progression of their relationship, it like really brings me a lot of joy. Sean does have a lot of respect for George, and I can appreciate that. Even when Sean like started going out, you know, at night and hanging out or whatever, I think that George was more of his go-to than I was, because I was like on panic mode about everything. Like, you can't be going out. You can't be doing this. And George was like, let that boy live his life. So, you know, he probably got away with a little bit more, because if it had just been me and him here, oh, he would have been chained to the side of the bed until I felt comfortable. You know how it is out here for these black men in these streets. So I was not feeling it. So it's just a joy to me now to see like how far that has come. I think that Sean can see it from a different perspective now.
I mean, and he's a cool dude. He ain't no knucklehead. I mean, I could see if you had like some big knucklehead type son. He's like, "I don't like nobody talking to my mama." He wasn't like that. And I was like, "Whew, that's cool. That's one thing that's cool." But yeah, I was kind of blessed in that sense.
Do you remember when you told me, do you remember when we went on the bus and Sean accidentally stepped on this lady's foot? Let me tell you guys this story. we were on the bus. We were going to the city, right?
We were in the city.
We were in the city. We were in San Francisco. And, like, you know the bus, how it, like, moves or whatever. Like, when it stops, you kind of jerk. Well, it jerked, and Sean had stepped on this lady's foot. And she was speaking a different language. And she was, like, trying to say some stuff to him or whatever. And I was like, first of all, speak English, because I'm here for it. What are you saying to him? Because it was an accident, and I'm not having it. You don't talk to my kid like that. George later told me that that's when he knew that he wanted me to be his wife, because he knew I was about it, okay? I'm about to protect everybody. Don't play with me. Don't play with my kids.
Yeah, I saw the mama bear, and I was like, oh, okay, cool, yeah. I need somebody like that on my team. Yeah, let's roll.
I don't know if he like it now, because I'll be like, look, I'm here for everything. Like, what we gonna do now? Like, we riding at dawn or what? I'm always ready. I stay ready, okay?
It's my sister soldier right here.
I've been fighting battles. So, yeah, again, I feel so blessed to see, like, the direction that it has gone in, because I could see how Sean really has taken to George. Sean didn't really have his dad around him. They live in a different state. So it just, like, really brings my heart joy to see that relationship and how it's flourished. So next on my lovely list of questions. Oh, this should be interesting. So as a husband, what is the one thing that you need most from me? What is the thing that you don't really feel like you get, or that you feel like you need more of?
Alone time. G time. Daddy time. All of that.
Well, yeah. That's just a difficult one.
I mean, I can see it coming because the kids are getting a little bit older.
Yeah, but they ain't old enough. Like, hey, we about to just go wherever. They ain't that old.
No, not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, not we yet. Still got some years to go before we get there. But I also think, excuse me, guys. I also think that just more easily entertained by themselves or by each other. Like, you know, the small changes of, like, you know, they don't wake us up in the morning anymore when they, like, need to get breakfast.
Yep.
Like, that was, like, pivotal. I don't know how y'all out there feel about that. But, man, when you just let me lay in the bed and you just go make your own cereal, like, I'm for that. You don't need to wake me up at 7:00 in the morning on Saturday if I'm not already awake to make you a bowl of cereal that you could really make on your own. So
and Xavier even can make his crack his own egg now. And,
oh yeah. they be getting bouted out there. I just hear a little scurrying around. I'd be like, oh yeah, they making breakfast. But just like those little changes can help us, I guess, get more alone time. But as far as, like, really having people to help us out with the kids, like, we don't really have that. Like, this 10 days is, like, a rare thing that we don't really get. So that's always been hard for me. I don't really let the kids stay with a lot of people or hang out a lot of places. I'm sure that George thinks I'm, like, over protective about it, but.
Yeah, I would get them out a little bit more, but hey.
Yeah. It's hard to know, you know. Xavier really loves being at home, so that's hard. Emma is more of a person that doesn't mind being out. But, yeah, I could definitely use more time together as well. What would I say that I needed most from you more? This is going to be so salty.
Ooh.
But my husband is super slow. Like, this guy does everything slow. I can't take it. I, like, do, like, 12 things, and he still just did one thing.
Not
I'm like,
true.
Oh, my gosh, not I can't true. Take it. It's too much. So I could always use you to, like, move a little bit faster. Like, when we have stuff to do, doesn't have to take us all day to, like, do, like, a few tasks. We could get it done a lot quicker.
But I like to do it well.
You could do things well a little bit faster. Okay. I feel like I do things well. You might not think I do, but I think I do them, you know, sometimes maybe they're not like A+, but, you know, they're at least B-. That's good. sometimes you could do a B minus job. You don't always have to do.
With cooking, I try to do an A plus job all the time. So
this guy want to take 3 hours to make some tacos. I'm like, since when does it take 3 hours to make tacos? I have never
cook the meat.
Never heard of such. That's supposed to be quick food.
You got
to
let the meat simmer.
Yeah, no, I can't. I don't have that kind of life. I can't live like that. Yeah, see, so
I got to have flavor. I got to have flavor.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I just be like, okay, he been doing that for 8 years, so maybe
you just let me do my
cooking. No, but I'm just saying maybe it'll never change. Not to say that it doesn't irritate me sometimes. Oh, we already talked about compromise. How important do you think compromise is?
It's real important because you never going to just get your way the way that you want it.
Right.
You might. I guess there might be some people that do that. I know you don't do that, but hey, if I can get it some way close, then hey, I'm good.
Yeah, I think that I think that it's been like the biggest part of marriage for me is the compromise part. I think that other things haven't been as hard for me, but knowing that, you know, for example, I could use the idea, the thing that I just talked about you being slower. So you're slow and I feel like I'm like, he's the tortoise and I'm the hare. So we have to meet in the middle, you know, of that medium and not like, I'm not like rushing you, but I'm rushing you a little bit. And he's going a little bit faster because he knows that it bothers me for him to go so slow. So just meeting in the middle somewhere, because you even start to take on the traits of the person that you're with, you know, and hopefully some of the stuff is good, because I could say this about him, like doing things more methodically, is that like it causes me to learn how to relax a little bit, because I don't know how to relax. I feel like I have to be doing something all the time. And so with him, he's better at that. He's better at like taking his time doing stuff. So it's caused me to like slow my roll a little bit more and not always have to be in such a hurry to do everything. So sometimes the compromise is not all bad. Like I said, though, you know, I just feel like I'm getting back to the place where I really am finding an important like part of this podcast, part of what I talk about, taking care of yourself, taking care of your dreams and visions as a mother. I'm just feeling like I'm starting to get back to that. And of course, as you know, everybody needs that. Like, you can't continue to go, you know, years and years and years with giving away so much of yourself and never pouring back in. So it's been good to me to find the middle. I found the middle of what works. And also my husband is very good about letting me take off. Like, I take off way more than he does. I think like, and probably for most women, that social activity is like more important for me, like to get together with people. And it doesn't even have to be long, and it's not even that much, but like me, like taking a day out to like go have wine with my girlfriends, or like even like going on my hikes in the morning. And even though I wake up early to do it, like that hour or hour and a half that I'm away, I feel filled up. And like, I took care of myself by doing something that's important to me. So I think that once you have kids and once you find that medium way of living, that you start to feel better. At least I know that I started to feel better. Like, I feel like this is manageable, that I can handle it. Like, I'm not all out of control like I was before when we first started this marriage. So
that's funny, because that goes back to one of the questions that you had for me, and you didn't ask that. It's like, if you could go back and change any one moment in our marriage, what would that be?
Oh, I skipped that. Yeah. How convenient.
Well, that for me, that's funny that you say that, because I would have added more children. As crazy as that sounds, and as crazy as you looked at me just now.
Tripping. He do not know that this was too much, okay? No.
Yeah, I waited late until before I had children. I didn't know it was so fun.
Hear my silence. Silence on the mic. I do like think it's fun. Like when I'm in with the kids, like I'm all in, and that's part of my problem. Like that's why I don't get rest, because I'm like in. I'm all the way in. And then it's like, oh, I'm hecka tired. I just did way too much. So I can't imagine adding one more person to that. I can't. I still think that even though Sean is an adult now, I mean, there's still stuff that I feel like I need to do with him or spend time with him or be available for him, and then still trying to be available for the two little ones. Yeah, I couldn't do it, y'all.
Yeah, three little ones might be a lot. I don't know, but...
Yeah, that would be too much for me. Two little ones took me over the edge. If there's one thing that I would say that I could go back and change, is that being a mom of two toddlers at one time was a lot for me. Just at the age that I was at and everything, I think that what I would go back and change is like I would have like took my husband's advice and got therapy or got help, because I really needed help. I really needed somebody to talk to. There were so many like dark moments in my life, like when I had the kids and they were both little. There were so many times that I just didn't think I was going to make it. So, and he didn't know what to do for me or with me. I think that he was very afraid of what I might do to myself. And so he was always encouraging me to get help. And I felt like nobody could help me. So I didn't take his advice and get help. But I really wish that I would have, because I feel like it would have also made our marriage easier if I had somebody to talk to about it, and they could have kind of normalized what I was feeling a little bit. So
that's the one thing I feel like I should have did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You never knew that, huh?
No, I didn't. I did not know that.
Yeah. So I just think that it wouldn't have taken as long to get to where I am right now, because I feel like at this point in my life, like, do I still get frustrated or angry or, you know, have bad days or whatever? Yes, but I have way more good days. Like my joy is so centered now, and I'm so filled up with like the smallest things in my life. Like being with my family really fills me up with joy. It doesn't take much. And I think back then it just like was such a struggle to find myself in joyful situations. So I don't ever want to go back there. So now I know that if I feel like I'm in that place, like I definitely need to reach out and ask anybody for help. I mean, I don't really even ask my friends for help. I'm a person that doesn't like to put a burden on another person, but I'm not interested in going back to where I was about 4 years ago. So, so I think my last question for you is, next year, when we come around to celebrating another year of marriage, next month, we'll be married for 8 years. We're going to be in our 8 years. What do you want to see happen for us by next year? What's one thing that you want to see change or grow or whatever?
I want to see more of this country. I want to travel a little bit with us and have the kids see other parts of the United States.
Yeah, I've been talking a lot since all of COVID has happened and stuff. And I talk to my husband about this stuff anyway. Like, I go on these big extravagant things. Like, it's not like, oh, let's go visit, you know, a place for, you know, 2 weeks. It's like, why don't we just take the kids out of school? And why don't they just learn on the road? Why can't we just travel everywhere we want to travel and live everywhere we want to live? It's all or nothing for me. I don't know. I don't have any medium. But so that has always been a dream of mine, like to just let them learn while we're traveling. So many podcasts that I follow, like this is what they do for their families and their children. And it just sounds so wonderful to me. But then I also realized that my kids would be missing something else, like setting up relationships with people. They wouldn't be with the same people throughout their school career. So I think about balancing all of that, but that'd be great for me too. I'd love to see more, but I'd love to see more in a big way, like where we're not even connected to anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be really cool. So this has been a really good conversation. I appreciate you guys listening. I really hope that some of what we said has helped somebody. I hope we did not bore you to death. We've been wanting to have this conversation all day, and I think he was a little bit nervous about having this conversation. So I appreciate you guys listening.
All your million subscribers.
Yeah,
and
he was scared. You know, the millions of people that are going to listen to our relationship issues. I appreciate you guys tuning in with us today and talking about this. And I pray that you guys have a good week and take care, okay?
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining me on another episode of the Melanated Mom Podcast. Let's stay connected. Read my blogs over at melanatedmom.com. Stay connected with me on Facebook at melanated-mom, on IG at Melanated Mom Podcast, and my new Twitter account at melanatedmom1. Talk to you soon.